If you would, open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 16. All right, amen. Did I say Acts chapter 16, verse 25? Amen. Now, I apologize if I had some people waiting in the waiting room. This is our first time live streaming, amen? But it's not our last, amen? And I want to thank you all that are joining us on Facebook. I see, man, some dear hearts. I see you, Frank Lucas. I see you, Tony. Thank you, Sheila. Thank you, Gail, and those of you that are joining. Open your Bibles, and please have your physical Bible, not the phone. I don't want us to get distracted. Just one click away from some foolishness. Amen? So have your physical Bible. Have your notepad. I want you to take notes. For those of you that are just joining us, I want you to know that as I go through the Word, I'm always all over the place. This morning, it will be no different. I'm going to be all over the place. Amen. But we're starting in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 25. Again, I will be all over the place, but it's going to be good. I promise you. God is speaking to us this morning. I don't want you to miss it. Amen. I said Acts 16 and 25, and it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Somebody underline that they prayed. That word prayed in the Greek means that they begged God and they worshiped God and sang praises. And they sang praises. They went into the Psalms and they're singing. And it says, and the prisoners heard them. So we know that this is a public prayer. So we have people praying. We have Paul praying. We have Silas praying. They're praying publicly. Oh, by the way, it says in verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Just the backdrop on this, Paul and Silas, they are in prison. They've been beaten for taking a stand for Jesus Christ. So they've been beaten for taking a stand for Jesus Christ, and then they've been thrown into prison. And at their lowest point, at the toughest point, they're praying and singing praises. Somebody make a note of that. They didn't wait till things got better. They didn't wait till everything lined up. They didn't wait till they got out. They prayed while they were in. Amen. They prayed while they were there. And look at this. Because they took a stand for Jesus Christ, because their connection to Jesus Christ, they were thrown in prison. So you can be doing the right thing, serving God, and things kind of fall apart to no fault of your own. But God wants to get the glory out of it. So normally, in our times, because of our disconnection to Christ, we find ourselves in a bad place. Amen. But because of their connection to Christ, they found themselves in a tough place. So either way, you can be in a tough place. I just prefer being connected to Christ as we're going through. And make a note, we are going through. Amen? Amen. It goes to show that just some things, family, we have to go through. Some things we got to go through. God could have prevented Paul and Silas from going to jail. He could have. God could have prevented them from going to jail. But God said, no, you got to go through this. God could have prevented this whole thing that we're dealing with now. But for some reason, God wanted us to be right here today, live streaming, talking to folks via Instagram, Facebook, Zoom, and saying that we got family together. We got to go through it. God has taken us through. And that's okay. That's okay for God to take us through because God gets the glory. We see that it caused the foundation to shake. Look at verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. We've been praying for a shakeup. God can shake things up by shutting them down. God shakes things up by shutting them down. So here we are in the midst of, and I would say, I don't know about you, family, but just being transparent and being honest, the foundation Our foundation has been shaken. My foundation has been shaken. The things that I thought I trusted in, amen, we do trust in God, right? But now that's even been shaken, if we're going to be completely honest this morning. All the messages that I've taught for the past 8 years as senior pastor of South Bay Abundant Life Church, now I have to live it. Amen. All the message that you've heard over the years, now you have, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of adversity, now we got to live the message. It's one thing to stand here and preach and go home with your job and your bank account. That's one thing. But now, when everything is shut down and you don't have anything, and not only do you have to preach it, but you have to live it. Now, that's the good part. That's the tough part. Amen. Now we all have to live this thing. And it gets real. As they say, all of a sudden, it's gotten real. So make a note. Here's what I want you to make a note of. Paul and Silas are in prison. It said they prayed at midnight and they sang praises. So regardless of where you are and what you're going through, it should have no effect on your prayer life. Your location, your situation, the time, it is midnight. And Paul and Silas are praying and worshiping and singing praises. So the time has nothing to do with it. I don't know what time it is for you. If it's 11:59 and it's almost midnight, but the timing should have nothing to do with you praying, worshiping, serving, and trusting God. Your location, they're in prison. Matter of fact, the word says that it put them into the inner prison. So it means it put them way deep. I've done prison ministry. I've been in a prison before doing ministry, I might add. Amen. But an inner prison is deeper than just a regular. They're in the inner prison. Their situation is bad. They've been beat. They're bloody. They're beaten. And they're in the inner prison. And then it said it put them in the stocks. And if you would mute yourself, those of you that are joined us, Brother Clarence, if you would mute yourself. We appreciate it. So here we are, they're in the stocks. So Paul and Silas, they're put with their feet in the stocks. You know those little wooden things they'll put your head in, they'll put your hands, they'll put your feet. So it just said they put their feet in the stocks. Didn't say that they're in the inner prison and their feet are in the wood and they're like that. Amen. So they're in prison, feet, hands. Didn't say the hands, just said the feet. Amen. Are in the stocks. Has nothing to do. They still sang praises, prayed, worship God in the midst of the toughest situation at their lowest point. Make a note of that. Your position, your location should have nothing to do with you praising God and praying to God. So as we look into the great Hallel, we look into the praise, what they were singing. So let's go to Psalms 113. Psalms 113.
You muted it?
Please do. Thank you. If you're at Psalms 113, say amen. I shouldn't hear you, but say it anyway. Amen.
Amen.
Unless you haven't. Clarence, I can hear you. You should mute yourself, brother.
Oh, sorry.
Amen. So we're at Psalms 113. So what's the significance of Psalms 113? This is the great Hallel. Paul, we know that he was a Pharisee. He was a Jew. His dad was a Pharisee. He knew the word inside and out. He knew the Psalms. He knew the Old Testament. He knew what the great Hallel was. So make a note, it's Psalms 113 through 118. It's also Psalms 136 and Psalms 145. And for the last 3 weeks, I've been praying and meditating every morning. Family, make a note. If you really want to get through this, staying connected to God, every morning 5, 10 minutes. Matter of fact, look, we can't even go anywhere now. So at least you get up and give this time to God. Read Psalms 136 and 145. It will change your life. It will change your perspective. It will let you know that everything's going to be all right. And I'm going to add to the list certain aspects of Psalms 113. I'm going to take you through 113. And then Psalms, where else are we going today? 116 and then 118. My God. So what is Paul and Silas singing? What are they singing when they're locked up, when they're at their lowest point? Here we go to Psalms 113. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. This is what they're singing. So what are they doing at midnight? They're beaten. They're in the stocks. They're locked up. They're in the inner prison. And everyone can hear them. This is what they're singing. They're saying, praise ye the Lord. This is what Paul and Silas are singing. And make a note, family, when we praise the Lord, we praise our great and awesome God. It really diminishes the size of our problems. When I focus on my problems, they become bigger than God. But when I wake up and I'm praising the Lord and I'm making God bigger than my problems, then I know I'm going to get through this. Somebody say, man, we're going to get through this together. So here's Paul and Silas at their lowest point. They say, praise ye the Lord. They lift up the Lord. They congratulate. They bless. They celebrate the Lord in the midst of their toughest circumstances. And they say, praise the name of the Lord. And we look up the word name in Hebrew. They say they're praising the reputation of God, the fame, the glory, the honor, the authority, the character, and the report of God. That's what this says when it says praise the name of the Lord. Let me say it again. They're not focusing on their problems. They're focusing on the reputation, the fame, the glory, the honor, the authority, the character, and the report of God. They're believing God for everything. They're focusing on what God is in each and every aspect of their life. Not the problem, not the situation, but God. Then verse 2, they say, bless the name of the Lord from this time forth and forever. Somebody say amen. Somebody underline this time, from this time forth, from today forth. Right? You've been looking at channel 13. You need to start reading Psalms 113. Somebody say amen. We got to unplug from all that stuff that's out there. And we got to say, bless the name of the Lord from this time. I know I've been freaking out. I've been falling apart. But from this time forth, I'm going to praise the Lord. And I'm going to bless his name. And then it says forevermore. So I looked up forever. It says when you look up forever in the Hebrew, it means until. Right. So we got to praise the Lord until what? Until. That's what forever means. But it also means during, while, W-H-I-L-E, and before. OK, so let me break it down. It says verse 2. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and until, during, while, and even before it goes down, I'm blessing the name of the Lord. I love that. Before it even goes down, I got a blessing. It has nothing to do with my location, my situation, or the timing. This is just standard operating procedure for us to bless the name of the Lord. And then he breaks it down even further in verse 3. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised, is to be lifted up. 24/7. This is what they're singing while they're in their worst situation. I don't know, family. I just, you know, we got to get real sometime. I mean, when things are going really well and, you know, and the bank account looks good, the job is going well. I mean, it's easy to praise the Lord. Somebody say, man, it's easy to praise the Lord. It is. I mean, you trust in God, but you're feeling good because you're in control of a lot of stuff. But then when it falls apart overnight to no fault of your own. Greeting, Brother Wayne from Texas. I see you. When it falls apart for no fault of your own, then can you still praise the Lord? Can you still bless him? When your job shuts down. And God's just been speaking to me. Has the job been my source or has God been my source? I'm not going to find out. We're going to find out what we truly believe. Now, and family, I can't trust God for you. I can't trust God for you. This is the time when you got to trust God for yourself. That's why we have to stand on the Psalms. We got to go back to the great Hallel. We got to understand what God is. The great Hallelujah, that's what it means, which means praise the Lord at all times. Let's continue on. Verse 4 says, the Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. God is not fazed by this. God is in control. God is high above all this. I mean, underline that. Family, when you've fallen apart, shut the news off, shut the social media down, and then read verse 4. The Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. Verse 5 says, who is like unto the Lord our God? Who dwells on high? Is there anything else like God? Nobody is. Oh, family, I'm trying this morning. I'm trying to make it plain so we can stop. Those of us that believe, those of us that have trusted God, those of us that are trusting in God, this is time. We've been called, just like Esther, in the book of Esther, we've been called for such a time as this. This is our time to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you're standing in that long line at the grocery store and people are all freaking out and you see the spirit of fear and anxiety, start a conversation and say, you know that God is still in control? And let them know, hey, what's your first name? I'll be praying for you. And just break the ice with the name of the Lord. This is a time for us to speak up. It's not time for us to be silent. It's time for us to speak up. So here we go. Look at Psalms 116. This is what Paul and Silas are singing. Sister Patricia Ashley, I see you. This is what Paul and Silas are singing when they're in jail, when they're in the stocks, when they're in the inner prison at their lowest point. And right before God shook things up. Family, don't give up on God. Don't give up on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Keep praying. Keep fasting, keep believing. Now it's time for us to study the Psalms. You got time at home. Make time for God. Use this time. Cut the TV off. You can't watch your TV for 3 or 4 hours. It's not going to help you. It's going to bring you down. Get into the Word. Start slow. Just get in for 5-10 minutes. Read Psalms 113. Then here's Psalms 116. This is what Paul and Silas are singing. I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my petitions and my prayers. This is what they're singing. They're locked up. They're in jail. And they're singing that they love the Lord. Amen. As we're going through, family, this is our song now. I don't care what goes on, what's happening. My position, my location, and the timing has nothing to do with me loving the Lord. And then look what it says, because he has heard me. So make a note that God hears us. He says, if we humble ourselves and pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways. We got to get rid of some stuff. We got to humble ourselves. God is waiting. God's been waiting to hear from you for a long time. God set this up so he could hear from you. God's been waiting. He's been knocking at the door of your heart for a long time. God has been waiting for you. God hears our prayers. Verse 2, because he has inclined his ear unto me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. Somebody underline that. As long as I'm here, I'm going to call on God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe in God. I'm going to run to God, and I'm going to stop running from God. God's caused this whole pause. Paused us right in our tracks so we can run to him. Make a note what pause mean, P-A-U-S-E. People always use stupid excuses. Excuses are over now. Now it's time to run to God. God's called the pause. People always use stupid excuses. Now it's no excuse. Now it's time to run to God. It's time to pause and run to God. Cry out as long as you live. Because God is listening. Look at verse 3. How appropriate is verse 3? Psalms 116:3. The sorrows of death surrounded me, and the pains of hell tried to grab hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Amen? Sounds like today, boys. It's the fear that's trying to grip you. It's the uncertainty that's trying to grip you. It's the lies of the enemy that's trying to grip you. It's the world that's trying to depress you and send you into despair. But verse 4 says, then called I upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm begging you, deliver my soul. It's time to cry out. Amen. Got to pause and cry out. Now's the time. I can't think of a better time. If you can't run to God now, then I don't know. I don't know what to say. If this hasn't caused you to really think about what's important in life, then I don't know what will. Verse 5, let us know that gracious is the Lord. He's righteous and God is merciful. Somebody say amen. Underline that. God is merciful. His loving kindness. He's merciful. God's been waiting for us. God set this up so that we could run to him. And some of us, this is going to be our last opportunity to run to God. God set it up to get our attention. All of us. God set it up to get our attention. And for some of us, this is going to be our last opportunity to run to God. And you have to consider that. It gets better, though, family. Let's go to Psalms 118. I'm almost finished. I'm going to wrap it up in just a minute. Psalms 118. Amen. This is what Paul and Silas are singing at their lowest point. Family, make a note. Let me say it again. Each morning, spend your time in prayer. Each morning at South Bay Abundant Life Church, we start each morning with fasting before we have our first meal. And for the first 3 months, 3.5 months of this year, we have our first meal after service. We come to church praying and fasting for a revival, for a breakthrough, for God to speak. So we're not going to stop. We sure can't stop now. So those of you joining us, I'm telling you how to connect with God, how to hear from God. Before you have your first meal, before you turn on the phone, before you get involved in all that other stuff, read Psalms 113. Read Psalms 116. Read Psalms 118. Read Psalms 136. Read Psalms 145. I tell you, God will speak to your heart. But you got to make the effort. God said, if you draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. God's been waiting for us for a long time. Amen. Then God had to set something up like this to get our attention because he's called us. He loves us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. God's given us another chance to get it together. To confess and forsake the sin and run to him. And family, we have to be listening. This is a time that we got to listen. Again, if God doesn't have your attention now, then I don't know what to say. So let's look at Psalms 118 and make a note. This is what Paul and Silas are singing at their lowest point. Not just saying it. I would sing it, but y'all know, my congregation know, they want me to teach. They don't want me to sing. Amen. So I would sing it, but I just know better than that at this moment. Amen. I'm going to stay in my lane. But this is what they're singing at their lowest point. It says, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Said, we can go home on that. If you don't get anything else, highlight, underline Psalms 118:1. In the midst of your lowest point, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endures forever. Verse 2, let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. And I'm going to say, let you say now. Let this house, let the body of Christ say that his mercy endures forever, that God is good and his mercy endures forever. I don't care where we are, what we're going through, what we have, what we don't have. We're going to give thanks because his mercy endured forever. We don't have to think back that far. We can't even kind of get into what's going on now. It's kind of new. But then think about, and I see some of my friends who I grew up with, think about how we grew up. If you don't believe God, mercy endures forever. But we didn't even care about God. God was watching over us, and his mercy was enduring forever. When we're out doing our own thing, thinking that we have some control of something, and we don't have control of anything, God's mercy endures forever. So when we say give thanks, when the word says, oh, give thanks, let Israel say, the house of Aaron, and I'm saying let your house say, let South Bay Abundant Life Church say it, let the Facebook family say it. This morning, decree and declare that his mercy endures forever. Verse 4, now let them now that respect the awesomeness of the Lord say that his mercy endures forever. When we see the word fear, it means that's the reverential awe. That means that you respect the awesomeness of God. The word says that the beginning of knowledge, when we fear the Lord, that's the beginning of knowledge. Not the fear to be afraid, but respect. Such a respect for God's awesomeness. That God is so awesome, I respect him so much that I want to hear and live by everything that he says. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endures, that respect his awesomeness, that know how we serve an awesome God and how great is our God, as we just sang, let them say that his mercy endures forever. And the mercy is the loving kindness of God. God has been good. His loving kindness has endured forever. Just look back on your life. Look back last week. Think about this morning. He allowed you to get up. It wasn't the alarm clock. It wasn't the kids. It was his mercy, his grace, his loving kindness that gave us another day. And you all know, as the world's looking today, we can't even take the next day for granted. But his merciful kindness, his loving kindness allowed us to get up. Then verse 5 says, I called upon the Lord in distress. Somebody underline that, distress. Distress in the Hebrew, I called upon the Lord in pain and trouble under pressure. That's what you do. Don't fall apart. Don't call the people that's not going to be able to help you, that's going to tell you to do something stupid or to cuss somebody out or act a fool. Don't call on them. Call upon the Lord in your distress. It says, the Lord answered me and he set me in a better place. Somebody say amen. Somebody highlight that right now. I called upon the Lord in my pain, in my pressure, in my trouble. The Lord answered me and put me in a better place. That's the God we serve. That's how great is our God. Somebody in verse 6, underline this. The Lord is on my side. Somebody, you've been thinking, you know, what you're going through and why you're going through it. But just know that the Lord is on your side. God loves you. God hasn't taking you through. He's taking you to this point to leave you. He's taking you through. You can't give up now. The Lord is on your side. Sometimes we wonder, is God out to get me? How does God feel about me? Underline this, the Lord is on your side. Yeah, we're going through. We're all going through. But I decree and declare that the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. I will not be afraid. Now, this is the other fear. I will not be afraid. What can man do unto me? Somebody say amen. Not afraid. I trust the Lord. This is a Lord that we love, that we trust, that we've been saying for years, some of us for decades. Now it's God's put us in a place for such a time as this when we have to live what we've been speaking. Man, and that's tough. And the title doesn't make it any easier. Just because you have the title of a pastor or a leader or whatever, trust me, it's just as hard as for us as it is for the everyday layperson. All right, so let's wrap this up. This is the first closing, family. Let's go back to Acts 16, 25. I promise you I'm closing this up. It's the first closing. I don't know if it's the second. I think it's the first. If you're there, say amen, although I shouldn't hear you. Say amen, or you can type amen if you're there. Amen. Acts 16 and 25. And I'm just looking at my notes. I don't want to miss anything. Wow. Whew. Acts 16, 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. All right, so let me just touch a note on this prayer. How deep y'all want to get this morning? How deep you want to get, Brother Joey, Sister Linda? How deep you want to get? Jackie, how deep y'all want to get? Brother Wayne, okay. So when they prayed, I had a conversation with one of my good friends, Dr. Joe Martin, that some of you know. And Dr. Joe said that before he prays, he confesses seven things to God before he asks for anything, before he even prays, so he won't make the mistake of thinking that God owes him something. Let me say that again. He confesses seven things before he prays every day, so he'll never make the mistake of thinking that God owes him something. So I know you want to know what those seven things are. So first, Dr. Joe says he confesses his unbelief, all the times he didn't believe in God when he should have believed in God. So he asked God to forgive him for his unbelief. That's number one. And then number two, the second thing is the pride. God, forgive me for my arrogance, for thinking I'm more than I am, and I should be somewhere where you wouldn't want me to be. So he confesses the unbelief, the pride, then the covetousness, which is the greed. When I saw something that I think I should have had or I want because they have it. And then he confesses being a hypocrite for telling people to do stuff that he doesn't even do. And operate on a level that he doesn't even operate on as it relates to Christ. And then his anger is the next one, when he's just angry and upset and doesn't respond well to either his kids or his spouse or his employees or his boss or his co-workers or his ministry. And then the next one is he confesses his selfishness, how God, it can just be about me and not other people. And then the next one he says he confesses is his lust, when he looked at something longer than he should have looked at it. Or when he got an appetite for something that was ungodly, whether tempted and followed through or just tempted. He confesses the lusts. And then the last one, number seven, is the rebellion. When he just did what he wanted to do because he wanted to do it. God, I know what your word says. I know what your Holy Spirit is telling me, but I'm going to do it because I want to do it. Dr. Joe says he confesses those seven things every morning before he prays, so he won't get the idea that God owes him something. And then he go ahead and then he petition God and say, God, since I've confessed those things, by the way, I was hoping we could have a talk this morning. So add those seven things to your list, because God doesn't owe us anything. If God doesn't do anything else, he's already done enough. Just dying on the cross, saving us from our sins, so we don't have to spend an eternity separated from him in hell. To those that believe and trust God, not playing church. It's time to stop playing church. I mean, we got to get serious and trust God. So those seven things he confesses, so he won't make the mistake of thinking that God owes him something. God, why this? Why that? Why didn't you allow this? Because God is sovereign and God does what he wants to do. And we have to tap into God's will, not God tapping into our will. And we serve God because God doesn't serve us. So as they're praying and they're fasting, Paul and Silas, verse 26, and suddenly there was a great shakeup, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. Paul and Silas prayed and everyone got free. They prayed, they worshiped, they supplicated, they petitioned, they begged God, and they sang the Psalms that I read, 113, 116, 118, 136, 145. And everybody got free. So I just submit to you, family, that it's time to pray. Pray for your family. Pray for your friends. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for your coworkers. Pray for your boss. Pray that God would shake them free. Pray for revival, that it would be revival in the heart, then in the homes, then we take it to the city. Pray, God shakes things up. God shakes them up with a shutdown. Pray now. Pray now and watch God shake things up. Now I'm going to end with this. I promise this is the last scripture. Then we're going to pray and sing. We're going to pray. We're going to praise. And then we're going to end like this. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Because it said the very foundation was shaken. And so God just brought me back to a scripture regarding the foundation. Pray and let God work out the miracle in his time. Pray and let God work out the miracle in his time. It's not in our time. It's up to us to pray, stand in the gap, believe God for the breakthrough and for the miracle, and trust God. God is outside of time. Time matters to us, not to God. What matters to God is that our heart is connected to his heart, that we've humbled ourselves, we've prayed, we've turned from our wicked ways. Then he said, then he will hear. God can't even hear. He can't heal if he can't hear. He has to hear. The only thing that prevents God from hearing us is our sin. Confess that sin and run to God. Did I say Matthew 7? Look at Matthew 7:24, and as we'll sum all this up. It says, therefore, whoever hears these things, this is Jesus talking. Oh, my gosh. By the way, Jesus just talked about ask and receive. He talked about the golden rule. He talked about the two ways of life. He talked about the broad road that leads to destruction. And he talks about the narrow, difficult road that leads to eternal life with Christ. He's talked about all this in chapter 7. Then he's talked about the false prophets. He's talked about all of it. He's talked about not everyone that says, Lord, Lord. And I used to think, how can you serve God and say, Lord, Lord, and God says, I don't know you? He's talking about the false prophets. You can't listen to everybody. You got to get into the word. You got to go research for yourself. There are some of us, we've traveled the world. We've studied in Israel. We studied in Egypt, Greece, Rome, and Turkey. We've got out there. We've seen it. We've studied the word. We're standing on the results of the resurrection. We're not just talking about stuff we don't know about. We've researched it. So when we stand before you, we're confident telling you that you can trust in the Lord with all your heart. And that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So he talks about the broad road, the narrow road, how the false prophets will keep you on that broad road that leads to destruction. Get into the word of God, surround yourself with godly people who are rightly dividing this word so you can stay on that narrow, difficult road. He talked about it. And then he gets to our text now. Verse 24, he says, therefore, whosoever hear these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man, that's mankind, a wise person, man or woman, which built their house on the rock of Christ. So Christ is telling them, not only do we got to hear the word, but then we got to do it. We don't do it to be saved. We do it because we are saved. We don't work to get saved. We work for God because we are saved. We know that salvation is a free gift. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You'll never be able to brag to say that you saved yourself. It doesn't work like that. But because we are saved, then we should work for God and let our light shine so others can see the good works in us and glorify our God, which is in heaven. So he says, therefore, whosoever hear these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken them to a wise person. Underline wise, intelligent, godly, which built their house on the rock. The rock we know is Jesus Christ. Look at verse 25, family, make a note of this. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew. Underline the rain, the winds, the floods. It's coming. It's here. We're in the midst of a storm, spiritual storm right now. We're in the midst of it right now. It's going to come. But because our house is built on the rock, look what happens. Our foundation is built on the rock. Your life is built on the rock of Christ. That's why this stuff that's going on in the world today, it can't shake you. It's cause for concern, but it can't shake you at your core because you've built your house on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior, who's outside of time. Now, if it's not built on that, then you have some things to get right. And number one is running to God and not from God. Verse 25 again, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house. There's some beating going on, and it fell. It did not fall. You will not fall. You will not fall apart. You will not give up. You will not lose heart because it was founded upon the rock of Christ. And everyone that hears these things of mine, this is Jesus talking, and does not do them, you don't run to Christ. You keep doing your own thing. You keep trusting in stuff that's going to fall apart. You shall be like a foolish person which built their house on the sand. I remember going to the beach as a kid and building those sand castles. It was fun until the waves came and it just washed away. Some of us, we've been building our life on a sand castle. And right now, yeah, it's being washed away, but that's good because the rock is there for you. It is so good that the sand is washed away, because once the sand is gone, you can start standing on the rock. Look at verse 27. And the rain descended. They came to both. Make a note. Whether your house is on the rock or the sand, the rains came, the floods came, and the wind came. This coming, family. Some things, make a note again, some things we just got to go through. God, I wish you could just take us out and take us home. But no, God says you got to go through. There's people I'm still trying to reach through you. So you got to go through. So when you get out on the other side, you can tell them how great is our God. And that God is real. And that his word is true. Because some things we just have to go through. Verse 27, the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Beat upon that house, underline that house. And it fell. And great was the fall of it. Look, make a note of this, family. This is deep. When you build your house on the sand, you got all this stuff. None of y'all out there, but you got all this, you in the stuff like toilet paper right now. You got all this stuff and all the other stuff you've trusted in. And then the tough times come. And when you needed it the most, it fell apart. When you needed it right in the midst of the storm, the wind, the flood and the rain, when you need it most, it falls apart. That's why it's so important to build your house upon the rock of Christ. Because when you need it the most, you're able to stand. You're able to rejoice. You're able to bless the Lord, to thank the Lord, to love the Lord, to cry unto the Lord, and he will hear you. I'm going to finish with this. Verse 28, and when it came to pass, Jesus had ended these things, the people were astonished at his teaching. He wasn't normal. He was supernatural. He was God, but he was man. He didn't act like us. He's not on our level. God's not on our level. We want to bring God down to us. God is way above us. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. He's not on our level. And they saw this. He didn't teach like just the regular religious folks. He didn't teach like the ones who were just out for a buck and faking and shaking. For he taught, verse 29, underline this, for he taught as one having authority and not as just a regular teacher, not as just a regular minister. That's what this word is. I can offer you my opinion, but it's nothing to be compared to the word of God. Opinions don't do well today. The word of God, it lasts forever. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you and we bless you. We love you. We need you. God, cause a change in our, not only in our life, but in our lifestyle. Let us get serious about you, Lord. I want to pray now for anyone who say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. It's as simple as saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Take over my life and make me the person that you created me to be. It's nothing mystical. It's nothing magical. is just asking God. I remember, and I see some of my friends here, we were at the summer camp together when we were teenagers. And the guy was preaching the gospel. Who brings a Bible to summer camp anyway? But this guy did, and he broke down the gospel. And that night I said, Lord, I need you. I was 17. My life has never been the same. So you don't have to get mystical and magical. It could be done via live stream. Just say, Lord, I see the world's falling apart, and I need you into my heart. I'll rededicate your life. Maybe you need to rededicate. Maybe you've been just into all other kind of stuff and you're getting all panicked. But now it's time to rededicate your life and get serious. You got time. Get into the word of God. Reach out to the people you know that's living this thing. Get close to them. Ask them, how do you live for God? What, how is it step by step? I recommend praying and fasting each morning. Get into the word of God before you have your first meal. Put on your favorite worship song, whether it lasts 5 or 10 minutes, and run to God every morning. I guarantee your life will never be. When we get through this, and we will get through this, somebody say amen. When we get through this, your life will never be the same. And God will show himself strong in your life. So, and I look forward to seeing you same time next week. We're going to worship. We're going to live stream. We're going to bless God. We're going to pray to God. We're going to receive from God. Lord, we thank you. We love you. And we bless you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. Thank you for your word this morning. I pray for your people, Lord. They take it into their heart. Then they take it into their homes and let it be a change. God, let the change, the transformation take place from the inside out. We love you today, Lord, and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I want you to join us all. We're going to have a worship song, and we're just going to go out on worship. And I want to invite you all to join us. I'll be putting the, maybe we'll live stream on Wednesday night at our Bible study. It's a little different. It's more interactive. If you have any questions, bring those Wednesday night. I'll put it up on the Facebook page. And I want you to join us on Wednesday night. The same link that got you, those of you on Zoom, the same link that got you here this morning will be the same link that we'll be using next week at 9 a.m. And Facebook will go live again next week. And join us. So if you would, just I want you to take notes on this worship song, what God is speaking to your heart. And then join us. Join us Wednesday night for Bible study. We're going through 2 Samuel chapter 6. You're at home now. In the comforts of your own home, take out your Bible and your notepad and just watch how God speaks in the Old Testament and how relevant it is for the New Testament. I love you. I love you all as we worship this song. I see you there. People that are near and dear to my heart, near and dear to the ministry. Melinda, I love you. Brother Rob, I love you. Eric, I love you. Listen to the words of the song. I love you, cousin. I see you. Let the song, brother Freddie, I love you, man. From elementary school, I love you, brother. Let it minister to your heart. Thank you, Lord.